Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast for this Thursday, May 28th, 2020. I'm your host, Jake Golden. We have a good amount of stuff to talk about today, consisting of some show news, Danny Wirtz's first statement as interim president, what Bill Daly said that makes Ian Mitchell unavailable for this year's playoffs, why the Blackhawks could make a run in a 2014 playoff format. We'll take a look at Blackhawks players' stats from this past season and take a deeper analysis of Kirby Dach. I'll discuss the classy move that the Blackhawks made by deciding to refund all season ticket holders. And I'll finally discuss the NHL regular season awards now that the season has come to a conclusion. But before I discuss all that, I want to make sure you know how to get in touch with the podcast or ask any listener questions, which are very appreciated. Just so you guys know, listener questions, please send those in. Please send them in. Even if it's off-topic from the Blackhawks or off-topic from the NHL, if it's related to podcasting or how I got into podcasting, whatever you want, I'll answer it. Because this podcast is going to eventually get really boring if you guys can't send me any listener questions to answer. It'll be really hard doing a solo podcast while coronavirus is still going on and the NHL is suspended. It'll be pretty hard to get some content rolled out for you guys. All right, so contact options we have. Twitter account, at ChiTownPod. Instagram account, ChiTownHockey.pod. My personal Blackhawks-related Instagram account is at Blackhawks.zone. My personal Twitter account, at JakeGolden777. And the podcast email is ChiTownHockeyPod@gmail.com. Please make sure to subscribe, rate, and review the podcasts, especially if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, as that helps the podcast tremendously. It helps it climb in the ratings. If you shoot me a message, shoot me an email letting me know you did all three of those things, and say you have an Instagram or Twitter account you want to grow or a product you want to sell, I'll be more than happy to give you a shout-out or promote you on both the Instagram and Twitter accounts, as well on the podcast to help you grow, as you would be helping me grow tremendously. Again, it's really, really appreciated if you guys can do that for me, so please consider it. All right, so here we go. First, I'm going to go ahead and get into the show news. Nothing bad. Basically, I'll just be changing the publishing schedule. So from now on, podcasts will be published on Tuesdays and Fridays and will be scheduled for 5 a.m. Central Time. So that's going to be 6 a.m. Eastern Time. That's going to be 4 a.m. Mountain Time and 3 a.m. On the Pacific Coast. So I'll record podcasts later at night on Mondays and Thursdays. So basically, right now I'm recording a podcast on Thursday. This is the first podcast that's going to go out on that Friday. Like I said, the release will be scheduled for 5 a.m. Central Time. So if you're up early and like listening to podcasts, go ahead and look out for new episodes then. But this is just for now, as coronavirus keeps going on, and this will probably be the schedule in the off season. But when the season or playoffs are being played with the Blackhawks, I am going to try to upload daily podcasts for you all. And if not daily, then I will try to do it every game day. If I do it daily, then it will exclude weekends, so it'll be 5 days a week. If I do it every game day, it will include weekends. So if I do it like every game day, those episodes will be recorded after the game and then published at 5 a.m. Central the next morning, so you guys can listen to the recap or whatever you'd like to think of that type of episode the next day or the next morning if you missed the game last night or want to hear my thoughts on it. So as more stuff to talk about comes out, more content will certainly come. So I hope you guys are liking where this podcast is headed. I know I certainly am, and I'm really happy to take it off the ground a little bit more. Okay, so now to get into the news a little bit. It was released today that players have been informed that Phase 3, which is the training camp phase, will now not start any time before July 10th. So there's a little delay there, but not much we can really talk about. So next, Danny Wirtz has made his first statement as interim president by saying, We are excited that the Chicago Blackhawks will be among the teams that will compete for the Stanley Cup. That alone is great for our fans, the city of Chicago, and the state of Illinois. And man, I couldn't agree more with this statement, honestly. It'll certainly be great to see the Blackhawks back in the playoffs, even if it is just the play-in round. But I do believe the Hawks can make a run in the playoffs. So later in the episode, like I said, I will discuss four reasons why they can make some noise. But something that's a little interesting to me here is Rocky Wirtz still has not spoken about the John McDonough firing. Danny Wirtz hasn't really spoken about the John McDonough firing other than saying he's excited to join the Blackhawks and search for their next president. So now that Danny Wirtz is coming out while the organization is on media lockdown saying this, it's a little interesting to me because this was a franchise-altering move that the Blackhawks made, and Danny Wirtz is sitting here saying he's excited that the Blackhawks are going to compete in the Stanley Cup, but yeah, any Blackhawks fan is going to be excited at the fact that the Blackhawks are back in the playoffs. But what we want to know is why John McDonough was fired. Why did you make this franchise-altering move and not say anything? And then to sit here and say something about competing for the Stanley Cup and being excited and that it's great for your fans. Yeah, duh, it's great for your fans. But why'd you fire, like, the president and CEO that turned around this whole organization in 2007 and made the Blackhawks a dynasty? I just don't get it. I don't understand why Rocky Wirtz is not saying anything and he's not being transparent about this. It's honestly kind of crazy to me. But anyway, that statement, it's not really huge news, so I'll go ahead and transition over to what Bill Daly spoke about. So on Tuesday, right after I did my latest podcast, if you haven't heard that, make sure to go check it out. I believe it is episode 9, Bill Daly spoke. And he said that teams will not be permitted to sign current year contracts, which now means Ian Mitchell will not be allowed to play for the Blackhawks during this year's playoffs. Which is pretty saddening, actually. I think we all really wanted to see Ian Mitchell make an appearance in this year's playoffs and possibly make a good impact. Sadly, Hawks fans and even NHL fans in general won't be able to see him until next year. However, Bill Daly did add that it is still to be negotiated with the NHLPA. So what I'm guessing this is, this is what the current state of the rule is, and they can continue to discuss it with the Players Association. So for now, it's no Ian Mitchell, but who knows? Maybe that'll change, but if it doesn't, what I'm looking at the Blackhawks' defense to be for this year's playoffs, you already have five that are locked in. You have Duncan Keith, Calvin DeHaan, Olli Maatta, Adam Boqvist, and Connor Murphy are definitely locks in the lineup. So now you have that extra six spot that you kind of have to choose. Who do you put in? Slater Cuckoo, Nicholas Beaudin, Nick Seeler, or Lucas Carlson. Personally, I would rather see Cuckoo play. I don't think Nicholas Beaudin is going to earn a chance to play. I think he'll even start next year in the AHL. But if Ian Mitchell were to join the Hawks in the playoffs and that rule be lifted, like I said, I would take him over any of these guys. Slater Cuckoo, he has had some good games. Seeler, basically nothing to us this year. Carlson played, three games? But honestly, I'm not even sure I want to see Ian Mitchell to begin the playoffs with the Hawks. Maybe I'm fine if he comes in during game 3 or 4 where the Hawks are on top, they can win the series. But plugging a defenseman into the lineup like that, even when he was a great prospect, I really just don't think is logical. Especially because it's the playoffs. It's the Stanley Cup playoffs. But I think it would be better to have Ian Mitchell in there than Seeler, Carlson, or Beaudin. But the one I do think has a legitimate chance is Slater Cuckoo. He's played decently well and has had some pretty good games, especially when he's playing with Olli Maatta. And I'd like to also see... I'd actually like to see him in the top six there, actually. I personally just don't think putting a rookie defenseman in there during a especially shortened playoff series is not that logical, especially because it's only 3 games that you have to lose and you're done. And the fact that it's a defenseman, if it's a forward, maybe you can talk. But defensemen, there are less defensemen on the bench than there are forwards. So it's harder to bench a defenseman, or it's harder to substitute a it's harder to bench a defenseman and then, like, put a substitute in his place. Because then that substitute is going to have to play, like, times, what, 33% of the minutes? So, it's just not that logical, because if he messes up, you're going to have to keep him in there, and he'll just keep messing up. But if you don't put him in there, and you keep who you have, and you keep those proven guys who can play in the NHL and prove themselves in the regular season, you won't have to worry about the fact of Ian Mitchell possibly messing up. Because I don't think, if you bring Ian Mitchell in during this training camp, it's hard to get adjusted to your new team in that short amount of time. And then, in that short amount of time, it's hard to get adjusted to the NHL. Because this is now the big leagues. You're getting bounced around. You're getting hit hard as hell. Like, this is no longer college hockey. You are playing with men. Some men are, what, 42 years old? You're playing against superstars. Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl. So it's just not that logical to put him in that position, especially due to the fact that it's the playoffs. And it's going to take a little bit of time for him to develop into an NHL player, even though he was a legitimate prospect, like I said. I just personally don't think it's logical, and I do not believe, if I was Stan Bowman or Jeremy Colleton, I would not bring him in during these playoffs. If the Hawks make a run, if the Hawks get to not round one, the second round, not including the qualifying round. So if they beat the Dallas Stars, yeah, maybe you give him a chance. Give Slater Cuckoo a break. If the Hawks are up, say, 1-0 or 2-0 in that series in round two, again, excluding the qualifying round, so if they beat Dallas, then yeah, maybe you give him a chance, because they would be playing pretty good then. But right now, if you plug him in, especially during game one, you don't know what Edmonton's going to look like. You don't know what Dave Tippett knows about Ian Mitchell. You just don't know what it's going to look like and how Ian Mitchell is going to adapt to the Blackhawks. And then on top of that, adapt to the NHL. Alrighty, so I told you guys I would do this at the beginning of the episode, and now I want to get deep into why the Blackhawks can make a run in the 2014 playoff format. First off, I want to point out, they're going to have a healthy lineup. Most of their lineup is going to be healthy. If your lineup is healthy, and you have all the guys there who should be there, and you get that chemistry going, and you find a rhythm, like I said in the last podcast, at the time of the pause, Andrew Shaw, Brent Seabrook, Calvin DeHaan, Adam Boqvist, Zach Smith, and Drake Caggiula all were injured. In the last podcast, I already said DeHaan was expected to play along with Caggiula and Boqvist. Seabrook and Shaw not expected to play. But it's looking as though the playoffs won't start until the later half of July, which is a few weeks later than it was originally scheduled. So these guys could possibly make a return. Seabrook, I believe, was scheduled for a 5-6 month recovery. DeHaan was a 4-6, and if training camp begins on July 1st, which it won't, because in my show notes I forgot to update that it will now start no later than July 10th, which would be the earliest day possible, it would be just a few days over that 5 month mark. It would be around 5.5 months for Brent Seabrook and Calvin DeHaan. So it's right there in the middle for DeHaan, just a couple of days prior to Seabrook's date. But I mean, who knows? Maybe Brent Seabrook returns earlier. The Blackhawks can make it deep and he returns further into the playoffs. Then you have Drake Caggiula, who already we confirmed will play. Same thing with Adam Boqvist. No timetable was set on Andrew Shaw, but most sources I've heard from, they have no update on him, and they say it is unlikely for him to return this season. Then multiple players missed time this year, including Duncan Keith, Dylan Strome, and Brendan Saad. So it'll be great to at least have more guys back together and playing together. So that'll definitely help the Blackhawks' chemistry in the room and help them build up that team mentality and play better. Secondly, I've said it before, and I will say it once again, Corey Crawford. He's stepped up in big moments, big games, not just this year, but even years prior. In 87 playoff games since 2009, 48 wins, 920 save percentage, 2.20 goals against average. That stat line is remarkable, especially in the playoffs where you're playing against good teams who are giving it their all. He can play in the playoffs, he can win big games, and that's what we need from him. Thirdly, we have a top 10 penalty kill. To be able to make it far in the playoffs, you need good special teams. You need them. And as long as the Blackhawks have that penalty kill in the top 10, then they will be even harder to beat. Lastly, championship team. Championship pedigree. We have guys within the organization who have won cups, who know how to win cups. Stan Bowman, Rocky and Danny Wirtz, Al McIsaac, you have the guys on the ice. Patrick Kane wants the puck on his stick all the time throughout the playoffs. Jonathan Toews, a well-known veteran leader and a pretty good two-way forward. Duncan Keith, who's won all three cups with the Hawks, along with Toews and Kane. He can still defend, still be that top-pairing defenseman. On top of that, you even have Stanley Cup champions behind the bench. Mark Crawford has had playoff success, so he can certainly help out Jeremy Colleton in the playoffs. But then especially, you have Sheldon Brookbank, who even won a cup with the Chicago Blackhawks team. He knows the veterans, he knows the structure of the organization, he already has those relationships with some of the players that he played with. He understands where they should play, where they should fit into the lineup. With all that said, the Blackhawks can be a good team. I talked about it last episode. If the whole team wants it, they can get it. Now that it's official and we know that the Blackhawks will be playing the Oilers in the first round, we can certainly analyze what the series will look like. We have two teams here with great offensive capability, not that great defensive depth. So basically, what this series is going to depend on is which team has the puck more and which team can score more goals. And now with the Hawks getting Calvin DeHaan back, that'll certainly help stabilize the defensive structure. So it'll certainly be exciting to see how the Hawks do against the Oilers and see how far the Hawks go in the playoffs. And I've gotten a little bit of heat for it recently, but I personally do think the Blackhawks can make it past the Dallas Stars. We showed it this year, even with an injured lineup. We can shut out the Dallas Stars. Corey Crawford can shut out the Dallas Stars. We show that we can beat the Dallas Stars. So yes, maybe they do have a little bit more depth than the Blackhawks. Yes, maybe they do have a little bit better of a structure than the Blackhawks. Hell, maybe they have a better coach, a better GM, a better owner, whatever, than the Blackhawks. But it only matters if they go out and they play their hardest. And you know what? That's what it'll depend on. If the Blackhawks can go out and they can play their hardest, they can win games. If everyone wants it, they can win games. They can beat the Dallas Stars. They can beat the Boston Bruins. We beat the Boston Bruins this year. What, I believe it was 3-2 in overtime? We beat them. Best team in the league. So it's not like we can't win against good teams. It's not like we can't win against good teams repetitively. Because we have. So, like, it's not that, like, if other teams look better on paper, it's how other teams look on the ice. Okay, so now that the regular season is over, we can finally take a look at the official stats for the year. I'll get into the NHL awards next. So here are the top 10 Blackhawks scorers from this season. Number 1, Patrick Kane, in 70 games played, 33 goals, 51 assists, 84 points. Number 2, Jonathan Toews, in 70 games, 18 goals, 42 assists, and 60 points. Something I want to point out, now that the regular season is over, for the first time in 12 consecutive seasons, Jonathan Toews has not hit that 20-goal plateau that he has hit 12 consecutive seasons. Now, you can argue that that's not exactly fair to hold that against Jonathan Toews because, obviously, still 12 games left for him to play. So I don't exactly think it's fair to kind of count that as he didn't, like, you shouldn't count it, not that he didn't not reach it. You shouldn't exactly count it against that record that he held, because he didn't have the same amount of games that he's had in years prior. Number three, Dominik Kubalík. 68 games played, 30 goals, 16 assists, and 46 points. This kid came in and dominated. Absolutely dominated. 30 goals. He ties Artemi Panarin for, I think, fourth most goals by a rookie in Blackhawks franchise history. And look at the player Artemi Panarin turned out to be. Elite goal scorer. And Dominik Kubalík, I believe, can do the same. He came in as a rookie, tore it up. Perfect age. He's 25 years old, I believe. So, this kid is going to mean a lot to the Blackhawks in the coming years. He's going to mean a lot to the structure of the organization. It's going to mean a lot when Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews get older, and Patrick Kane isn't at that 84 points that he was this season in 70 games. Fourth, Alex DeBrincat. 18 goals, 27 assists, 45 points. Disappointing year from the Cat. Disappointing. He better step things up next season, because he's going to be paid $6.2 million. So if things don't change by the next couple of games in the next season, I am going to be pissed. Pissed. He did not perform. He did not show what he is doing to make that $6 million next year. I don't know if he just thought, oh, I'm only making $1 million this year so I can half-ass things. But next year, that ain't going to be how it works. And I'm going to be pissed if it is. Five, Dylan Strome. In 58 games played, he was injured a little bit. So he had 12 goals, 26 assists, 38 points. Not a disappointing year from Dylan Strome, but not exactly where he was projected to be. Last year scored, I believe, around 55 points. If the Blackhawks, because if he can increase, that's going to be about 17 points. If he can get that 17 more points, which you get a point from any goal scored that you helped on, or scored it yourself. So those points are what matters to the Blackhawks' success in winning. If he can produce at that level that he did last season, Alex DeBrincat can produce at the level he did last season and the year before. If Dominik Kubalík can produce like he did this year, Jonathan Toews even staying at where he's at with that 60 points, Patrick Kane continuing to be Patrick Kane, you got a pretty decent lineup there. Pretty decent good group of scorers who can help your team win. Six, Brandon Saad. 58 games played, 21 goals, 12 assists, 33 points. Something I want to discuss a little bit, and I was thinking about it yesterday, is the Artemi Panarin trade. Artemi Panarin I love Brandon Saad. He won all three cups with us, but Brandon Saad is not Artemi Panarin. Artemi Panarin is an elite goal scorer that the Blackhawks let go. Even Artemi Panarin said that trade still confuses him, and he expected to play his whole career there. Brandon Saad, he has not produced at the level he did before he was traded from Columbus. And this trade, every single time I look back on it, it makes me mad, really, because we had such a good player. Such a good player, who would be a franchise-altering player. And you just trade him away. I posted on my Instagram the other day, at Blackhawks.zone, Patrick Kane, an article on Sports Mockery the other day, that he does miss Artemi Panarin. That trade still confuses him, and he wonders what might have been. He said it was the funnest hockey he's ever played. And you know what? Shame on Stan Bowman or John McDonough or whoever the hell made the call to trade this kid. Because you know what? They also let down their superstar player in Patrick Kane. Getting back to what I said I posted on my Instagram the other day. Where would these two be right now, where would the Blackhawks be right now if the Blackhawks held on to Artemi Panarin? The Blackhawks, I believe, could be a playoff team. They really could. Man, that trade just still confuses me. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and get on. Number 7, Duncan Keith. As a defenseman, 61 games played. He was injured a little bit this year and still managed to collect 3 goals, 24 assists for 27 points, which is certainly the Blackhawks need. Is that secondary scoring from the defensive group? Because if you don't have that, then, you know, if you don't have that secondary scoring, then you're screwed. You can't always rely on your top guys to score. 8th, Alexander Nylander, which is kind of surprising, actually. 65 games played, 10 goals, 16 assists, 24 points. Nothing really much to say on Alex Nylander. I mean, he's got an okay-ish future in the NHL, depending on what he chooses to do with it. So, not really too much there. Number 9, Erik Gustafsson, before he was traded. 59 games with the Blackhawks. 6 goals, 20 assists, 26 points. Same exact numbers, Alex Nylander. And Alex Nylander was a forward. We traded one of our best defensive prospects to get him. And he's scoring the same amount as a defenseman. That's a little interesting to me. And then finally, number 10, we have Kirby Dach. In 64 games played as a 19-year-old, 8 goals, 15 assists, 23 points. Kirby Dach has played well this season. I think he has a bright future in the NHL. I'll get into that in a sec. But once again, as per usual, Patrick Kane on the top. And then we'll go ahead and get into Kirby Dach, like I said. This kid, I believe, can be a superstar player, very similar to Jonathan Toews. This season, instead of developing his offensive game even more than he already had, he started to develop his defensive game. And I believe over the course of the next couple years, he can turn into that legit number one center. And the Blackhawks are going to need that as Jonathan Toews gets older. And no hate towards Jonathan Toews, but age catches up to people, and he won't be capable of playing that number one center position when he's 38 years old. And bringing in a younger guy to play that first line role is key, especially if Jonathan Toews is able to play good hockey, and he can still be that number two center. And that position is something the Blackhawks have lacked for years. Even during the dynasty, they were constantly bringing in guys to play center. So now that you have your top two guys for the next few years in Toews and Dach, if Dylan Strome is re-signed and can get back into his rhythm and start to produce a little more, then there you go. Already you're starting to build a solid lineup down the middle for the Blackhawks. Then maybe bring in a solidish fourth line guy for maybe $1 million or $2 million and bam, you got a great lineup down the middle, and that's what the Blackhawks have lacked for many years, like I said, even during the dynasty. So if the Blackhawks can continue to develop that, I mean, even say you draft a center in the second round this year and start to develop him, and in the next couple years bring him in as your fourth line center, and he's a solid player, and then, like I said, you got Strome, Toews, and Dach there down the middle, then so be it. Let them do that. Because the Blackhawks, if they want to be a good team, you need good centers, especially ones that can win faceoffs. Because if you're not winning faceoffs, you're not going to win the game. So I believe that if the Blackhawks re-sign Strome, Dach develops more than he already has, especially his defensive game, which is great for a young forward and even a young center to have. And Toews can keep his current form, maybe can trend downwards a little bit. But if they can get those four things out of four players, then I think the Blackhawks have a bright future at the center position. Thank you for listening to the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. Going to go ahead and take a quick break here. I will be back with you guys in 60 seconds or less. Welcome back to the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. I am your host, Jake Golden. So, as most of you know, the rest of the NHL's regular season has been canceled, which means the final 7 Blackhawks home games at the United Center have also been canceled. So, on Wednesday, the Blackhawks officially announced that they will be giving full 100% refunds to season ticket holders for this season. And then, on top of that, if the season ticket holders use that refund to purchase season tickets for future years, including next year, they will tack on an extra 20% to that refund, therefore refunding the ticket holder 120%. This is a great decision by the Blackhawks, as they were once again showing their fans, the league, the whole sports world, that they are a top-tier organization, and that they care about their fans. So, once again, a very classy move from Rocky Wirtz and the Blackhawks organization. So, now that the regular season has been canceled, like I said, we can now announce the winners of 3 NHL awards. We have the Rocket Richard, the Art Ross Trophy, and the William M. Jennings Memorial Trophy. To start off, I want to discuss the Rocket Richard. This year was won by Alex Ovechkin and David Pastrnak, both scoring 48 goals up until the suspension of the regular season on March 12th. Ovechkin season stats: 48 goals, 19 assists for 67 points, a minus 12 rating, 68 games played. Pastrnak had again 48 goals, along with 47 assists for 95 points, and earned a plus 21 rating in 70 games played. But immediately, when I look at these stats side to side, I noticed one fair advantage for David Pastrnak, and it's the fact that he played 70 games to Alex Ovechkin's 68. So he had an extra 2 games more than Alex Ovechkin to score that 48th goal. And I know the season, it's always 82 games in years past and upcoming, so all players have a fair chance. But I personally believe that this award should just go to Alex Ovechkin, because, and hear me out on this, he got the most amount of goals in less games than David Pastrnak. And if the season were to end at 82 games for David Pastrnak, and he would have scored 48, and Ovechkin would have played 80 games, scoring 48, so he still has an opportunity to pass up Pastrnak, which is one extra goal. So if each of these guys played the same amount of games, then yeah, they both definitely deserve it. I'm not taking anything away from David Pastrnak. He's a great player, great goal scorer. He will be for years to come when the rest of the Bruins core fades away. But I just don't think it's very fair to Alex Ovechkin that he played 2 less games. He scored the same amount of goals, and he now has to share an award with a player who got the 48, but in 2 extra games, or 2 more games than he did. But I doubt the NHL is going to change who won it, because that's very far down on their list of worries. So I guess congratulations to both Ovechkin and David Pastrnak anyway. And it's actually the first time the Rocket Richard was won by 2 players since 2009-2010, when it was won by both Crosby and Ovechkin, I believe. So Ovechkin now, second time that he's sharing the Richard with another player. Okay, so now let's talk about the Art Ross Trophy. Not too much to get into here except to give out the stats and all that stuff. So, Leon Draisaitl from the Edmonton Oilers, he has won the Art Ross Trophy this year. The Art Ross Trophy, for those of you who do not know, it is awarded to the player with the most points in the regular season. He collected 110 points between 43 goals and 67 assists in 71 games played with a minus 7 rating. Also, he's the first German-born player to actually win the Art Ross Trophy, so made a little history there this season winning that award. Lastly, the William M. Jennings Memorial Trophy, handed out to the goalie or goalies with the least goals against, and each goalie must have a minimum of 25 games played. This year, it was won by Tuukka Rask and Yaroslav Halak of the Boston Bruins. They allowed only 167 goals against this season. Tuukka Rask's stats included only 85 goals against, 2.12 goals against average, with a .920 save percentage in 41 games played this year. Halak, He led in only 73 goals against this year with a 2.39 goals against average and a 919 save percentage. So this year, both Boston goalies certainly performed well. Definitely a big reason the Bruins are at the top of the league, and actually why they won the President's Trophy this year. Tuukka Rask, proven to everyone, even though he's getting older, he can still play. Same thing with Yaroslav Halak, even though he's getting older, he can still play. Play at a high level, so they definitely factored into the Bruins' success this year and are definitely proving themselves worthy of another Stanley Cup. Alright, that's going to go ahead and do it for this edition of the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast for Thursday, May 28, 2020. Thank you all so much for listening. Again, I want to tell you how to get in touch with the podcast or ask any listener questions. Twitter account is at ChiTownPod. Instagram page is at ChiTownHockey.pod. My personal Twitter account is at JakeGolden777. My Blackhawks-related Instagram is at Blackhawks.zone, and the email is ChiTownHockeyPod@gmail.com. Once again, just like I said at the beginning of the show, please make sure to send in those questions. Help me out. Otherwise, this podcast is going to start to get really boring as coronavirus and the suspension goes on outside of some NHL news coming out. So please make sure to send in those listener questions. They help me so much. I don't care what type of question it is, whether it's about me, why I got into podcasting, the podcast, the Blackhawks, another NHL team, the NHL in general. I don't care what your question is. I will make sure to feature you on the podcast and make sure to highlight your question and answer it thoroughly with all of my knowledge. Again, please, I cannot stress this enough. Please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast, especially if you are listening on Apple Podcasts. It helps the podcast grow tremendously. Like I said at the beginning of the show, if you can subscribe, rate, and review the podcast, let me know that you have done those three things by any of those contact options I just listed. If you have an Instagram or Twitter page or a product you want to sell, I have no problem promoting it on my social media channels and the podcast social media channels. And on the podcast itself, if you guys can do that for me. Once again, if you guys can do that, just shoot me a message. No problem promoting you or your product on the podcast or on any of the social channels. No problem at all. If you guys can do that for me, you guys would be helping me out tremendously, and I will try to help you guys out also. Once again, thank you all so much for listening. I hope you all really enjoyed this episode. Please subscribe, rate, review the podcast. I hope to see you guys all next time. Make sure to have a great rest of your Friday. Thank you so much for supporting the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Golden. Until next time.